Hello, and welcome to the podcast of Northwestern University Law Review Online. My name is Nick Roosevelt, Senior Online Editor for the Law Review. Northwestern Law Review publishes articles and essays on a broad range of topics in the law. This podcast series focuses on our recently published content and also explores new and relevant topics in the law. Today's episode features the recently published essay by Professor Sarah Hahn, the CEO and the Hydraulics of Campaign Finance Deregulation. In the essay, Professor Hahn assesses what the Supreme Court's evolving campaign finance jurisprudence could mean for politically motivated consumers and business executives who continue to be among the most active campaign contributors. Employing the concept of hydraulic effects, Hahn argues that recent Supreme Court decisions, such as Citizens United and McCutcheon v. FEC, have allowed for greater influence by large-scale donors, thereby pushing average voters to rethink how best to make their voices heard. Professor Hahn argues that voters increasingly view their consumer activities, not their campaign contributions, as the most meaningful way to participate in politics. Proponents of the court's recent decision in McCutcheon argue that the removal of aggregate limits on individual campaign contributions will discourage so-called shadow contributions to 501c nonprofits and encourage full disclosure donations directly to candidates. Pointing to a recent CEO firing and a wave of politically motivated boycotts, Professor Hahn argues that large-scale donors will still be motivated to seek ways to avoid disclosing their contributions. With some on the court eager to expand campaign finance disclosure exemptions for so-called economic reprisal, Professor Hahn concludes that the court should treat money as speech not only when wealthy individuals donate to political candidates, but also when consumers spend money at the cash register. Professor Hahn is an associate professor at the University of Idaho College of Law. Our online articles editor, Jeff Wojciechowski, recently spoke with Professor Hahn to discuss her essay.
Professor Hahn, thanks for joining us. Your essay discusses the idea of hydraulic effects in campaign finance law, which is not a new term. Could you explain what hydraulic effects are and where the concept originated?
The idea of hydraulic effects originated in a 1999 article published in the Texas Law Review that was written by Professor Samuel Zakharoff and Professor Pamela S. Carlin, called The Hydraulics of Campaign Finance Reform. The idea of hydraulic effects is that political money is like water. If you cut off its flow in one direction, it will simply flow in another direction. Professors Zakharoff and Carlin used the hydraulic metaphor in 1999 to suggest that campaign finance reform may be basically fruitless because you could cut off certain types of spending, but this would just cause wealthy spenders to redirect their money to other kinds of political donations. And this hydraulic metaphor has had tremendous influence in legal academic circles and on the conservative majority of the Roberts Court.
In Chief Justice Roberts' McCutcheon opinion, he suggested that the decision could have the possible hydraulic effect of encouraging big donors to give to individual candidates rather than exempt 501c nonprofits, making those donations subject to campaign disclosure laws. What do you think of that proposition?
I think that proposition is highly speculative and likely wrong. Chief Justice Roberts' opinion suggested that by eliminating aggregate caps, the court would be encouraging wealthy donors to redirect their money away from shadow money organizations, those are 501c nonprofits, and into the sunlight of direct candidate contributions. There is really no evidence to support the idea of this sort of that this sort of redirection is happening. And there are a lot of reasons to believe that wealthy donors are still going to want to give substantial sums in secrecy if that is possible. Until we eliminate disclosure loopholes, I believe we can expect to see an increasing amount of secret donations to non-disclosing 501c organizations.
In response to McCutcheon, we hear a lot of talk about big donors, as we just discussed, but let's talk a little bit about average voters. Your essay talks a lot about average voters and consumer activism. Could you discuss that connection you see between the two?
I think there's a lot of evidence to suggest today that citizens feel disempowered by the increasing role of money in politics. Basically, if you're a wealthy donor, you matter to the political process. And if you're not a wealthy donor, if you're just an average voter, you don't matter to the political process. My essay cites a 2012 survey that showed that 26% of Americans said they were less likely to vote because they viewed big donors to super PACs as having so much more influence over elected officials than they did. But it appears that some people feel that they can reclaim some of this lost political power by voting at the cash register. And so we're starting to see more and more that Americans are engaging in consumer protests, consumer boycotts, putting pressure on companies and on CEOs around the companies or the CEOs' political donations. So people may feel that voting at the ballot box doesn't matter or increasingly matters less and less as more money floods into politics, but that voting at the cash register can matter, and people are buying things anyway on a day-to-day basis. So it is an easy, potentially effective way to make your political voice heard.
Do you believe that the discontent of voters and consumers is sufficiently widespread to meaningfully influence the behavior of big donors?
I think that's a great question, and it remains to be seen. I'm not sure that consumer discontent needs to be particularly widespread to influence corporate behavior. In other words, even a small consumer boycott can be powerful if it gets enough publicity. And we do know that some consumer boycotts have had an impact on corporate behavior. So one example is Target in 2010. Target faced serious consumer backlash after it made a political donation in support of a gubernatorial candidate in Minnesota who opposed same-sex marriage. And after consumers boycotted Target in connection with that donation, Target moved swiftly to apologize for the donation and to really distance itself from the candidate. I think the most recent forced resignation of Brendan Eich at Mozilla is also an example of a large corporation being influenced by swift consumer backlash. So again, I'm not sure how widespread voter or consumer discontent needs to be to influence corporations.
Have you seen anything in the news since your article was published this summer that challenges or reaffirms the points in your essay?
Yes, well, so certainly in connection with the upcoming 2014 midterm federal elections, there has emerged evidence that after McCutcheon threw out the aggregate cap, several hundred donors have taken advantage of that and are now donating in excess of the old caps. What we don't know, of course, is whether those individuals have redirected any of their funds away from non-disclosing 501c organizations toward the candidates. Or instead, they could just be putting more money into the election overall. And I think time will tell. We'll be able to empirically measure whether some of that redirection has been happening and how much. The other thing that has happened since my essay was published is we've seen the creation of several smartphone apps that allow a user to swipe a barcode and obtain political spending information about the products. And about the product's manufacturer. So one of the leading apps that I've seen is called Bipartisan, B-U-Y, Partisan. And so you just download the app to your smartphone, you bring it with you to the store, and if you're thinking about buying a product, you can swipe the product's barcode, and it'll tell you a little bit about the product's political affiliations, whether the manufacturer mostly donates to Democratic causes or mostly donates to Republican causes. And I think that apps like this, Bipartisan is not the only app like that. So there's sort of a growing field of apps in this vein. I think they are potentially game-changing in the realm of consumer political activism. I think that we can assume that these sorts of apps will be more popular among certain populations, probably young people who keep up on new smartphone apps. But in the coming years, we may see them playing a greater and greater role. And, you know, for the upcoming 2016 full-term presidential federal election, we may see really robust usage of apps like this.
Would you say that this increasingly politicized retail economy is a good thing or a bad thing for the country?
Well, I think overall it's a bad thing. I think it would be optimal if we could have effective regulation of campaign finance. But the Roberts Court has been steadily deregulating campaign finance as a constitutional matter. And so the world we find ourselves in is one where money is playing a greater and greater role in democratic politics. So in that world, I think consumer political action is better than nothing. I think if voters feel like they have some realm of empowerment, they feel like they can make their voice heard at the cash register, that's better than nothing. But I will say it's overall, it's pretty economically inefficient to have consumers making choices about retail products based on the political affiliations of the product's manufacturers rather than on the cost of the product or the benefits of the product or the features of the product, things that people used to use to make purchasing decisions based on.
So if big donors face economic consequences when their political donations are disclosed, is there a case to be made that campaign finance disclosures violate their freedom of expression or association?
Absolutely. I think that what we're going to start to see more and more is corporations and CEOs arguing that consumer political action kills their political speech by discouraging them from making political donations at all. This is the idea of economic reprisal that came out of a series of civil rights cases in the 1950s and 60s, but has since then really morphed into a potential exemption from campaign finance disclosure laws. In my view, there's really no basis for granting a campaign finance disclosure exemption because a corporation or its CEO is the target of a legal consumer boycott as a result. There may be some situations where a donor should be able to obtain a disclosure exemption, but I think the bar for that should be really high, and it should not involve illegal activity, not legal consumer boycotts.
Given the possible effects of a politicized retail economy on corporations and their officers, what is your view on the constitutionality of the country's current campaign disclosure law?
I don't think there's much question that campaign finance disclosure laws are constitutional after Citizens United. In that case, 8 of 9 justices agreed that robust campaign finance disclosure is constitutional. It's just that in my view, we don't need broad disclosure exemptions based on economic reprisal for for-profit corporations and wealthy business leaders who are subject to consumer boycotts. And I think the real question here is whether treating political spending as political speech and deregulating campaign finance is going to lead us to a robust marketplace of ideas, which I think is the assumption of the Supreme Court's conservative majority, or if instead it's going to lead to consumers trying to punish big donors at the cash register, thereby reducing or restricting the marketplace of ideas. In other words, I think some of the most basic assumptions of the Supreme Court's conservative majority about the relationship between the economic marketplace and the marketplace of ideas may turn out to be wrong.
Professor Hahn, thank you very much for taking the time to talk with us today.
Thank you.
That was Jeff Wojciechowski interviewing Professor Sarah Hahn. To read more about the hydraulic effects of recent Supreme Court campaign finance decisions, visit our website, www.law.northwestern.edu/lawreview. Also, be sure to get the latest on Northwestern Law Review's publications by following us on Twitter and liking us on Facebook. This concludes our podcast. Thank you for listening. Until next time.